Good morning. You're tuned into Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear how local school districts are responding to the need to feed students while the schools are closed due to the coronavirus. After that, we'll continue a look at how what's happening with the pandemic is impacting food access, and we'll hear from the owner of a local restaurant on the impact on his business, but also his workers, and how he's trying to help. After that, John Lendorf will join us live for Radio Nibbles, but live from his kitchen. He'll give us advice on how to use those cans of tomato paste, sauce, puree and juice that you might have lounging around in your pantry to make deliciousness. After headlines from the BBC, we'll bring you the next instalment in the Trends podcast. That's a collaboration between the Community Foundation of Boulder County and KGNU. Each month, we take a deep dive into issues facing different communities in the county. Today, as March is Women's History Month, we'll take a look at the gender pay gap. That is the gap between what men and women are paid. For white women right now, it amounts to about $14,000 less a year. But for women of colour, the gap is a lot bigger. And in Boulder, the gap is wider than the state average. We'll find out more later this morning, just after 8:30. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll continue the discussion with a focus on how the current coronavirus crisis is actually making women even more economically vulnerable, because the service industry is particularly hard hit. And many women are also facing hard choices around childcare, with schools being closed. It's all ahead of us, but first we'll begin with the latest local headlines. 33 more people have tested positive for the coronavirus in Colorado. This brings the number of total cases statewide to 216. A total of 26 people are hospitalised. Two people have died in the state. The latest figures being released by the State Health Department come with increased calls for more testing. So far, more than 2,300 people have been tested, but the state is limited in its capacity to do widespread testing. Rachel Herlihy, state epidemiologist with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, says that the state is pursuing a strategic approach to testing to steward the state and country's scarce resources in the face of widespread community transmission of COVID-19. She says the CDPHE is sending testing resources to specific communities that have not yet had testing, and that will yield vital information about how the disease is spreading.
So we are certainly working with our commercial healthcare partners to ensure that there is expanded access to testing in the state. At this point, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we are prioritizing public health testing to really try and identify where in the state transmission of the virus could be occurring. So at this point, I think it's most important for individuals who are seeking testing to talk to their healthcare provider and have that healthcare provider work with them to determine if they need to be tested. And if they need to be tested, that healthcare provider can work with them to identify the location to be tested.
The state has established a dedicated website with information and resources. That's covid19.colorado.gov. Due to concerns over COVID-19, Governor Polis directed on Wednesday evening that all schools remain closed through April 17th. The executive order directs Colorado school districts around the state to focus their efforts on alternative learning opportunities, while at the same time taking into account the needs of local communities. The Colorado Commissioner of Education will guide and support the development and implementation of alternative learning plans, including online classes, as well as offering waivers for instructional time. Most schools have focused their attention on remote learning. So far, the Boulder Valley School District, St. Vrain Valley and Adams 12 School Districts all have remote learning plans in action for students. Remote learning is expected to start after the district's spring breaks. Families without access to digital devices in Adams 12 are being asked to submit a request by emailing adams12remotelearning@adams12.org. The Daily Camera reports that the school district plans to provide a device distribution plan for families before April 1st, and that they're currently working alongside internet providers to determine the ability to provide service for families that need it. Local school districts are also working on providing food to students who receive free and reduced lunch and breakfast. In the weather today, rain falling right now around the Front Range that will soon turn to snow, with a winter storm warning in effect until about 6 a.m. tomorrow. 2 to 4 inches of snow accumulation possible around the Front Range. Temperatures will drop through the day. Overnight lows will be in the low 20s. Snow on Friday in the forecast and highs in the mid 30s, but warming up again by Saturday. Sunny skies in the forecast for the weekend, highs in the low to mid 50s, with a slight chance of some rain showers coming in Saturday night and again on Monday. It is 9 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. With Governor Polis announcing that all schools in the state be closed till at least April 17th, many school districts are scrambling to not just deal with remote learning, but also scrambling with how to deal with the emergency food needs of students who rely on schools to get fed. KGNU's Rosanna Longo went along this week to an emergency food pickup event that was held by the Boulder Valley School District.
My name is Amy Thompson, and I'm with the School Food Project. I'm the program assistant. We do all the food services for the Boulder Valley School District, and we're here at Crestview Elementary today in North Boulder, and we are doing an emergency food distribution to families since school was called off this week. So we've got bags of shelf-stable foods. We've got things like canned goods and bread. We've got granola bars. And we also have bags of produce with some dairy, like milk and cheese. And we're giving a bag to each family that comes through. At Crestview, we don't ask any questions. You don't have to be already qualified for free and reduced lunch. If a family shows up, we give them a bag. We'll be here today, and we'll also be here on Thursday. And then we will see how the school closures go. And if they continue after spring break, we'll continue on continuing this bag program.
So far, how many people or how many families have show up and taken the food? I would like to kind of have an idea of, you know, the need and the attention that you are providing to these families.
So over the past 2 days at the Boulder Valley School District Education Center, we've packed out over 2,000 bags of food. We didn't know what the need was going to be, and so we dispersed them amongst 9 schools, and this is one of them. We're starting with 250 bags here, and then we've got more stock on the way. We can just make a phone call, and they'll deliver more. And today will be very telling about what the need is. So I can tell you at the end of the day how many we hand out, and then we'll make the adjustment from there if we need to up it and do more, and we'll bring more food on Thursday.
I would like to really, you know, if you can stress this idea that you're not asking any documentations, there's no questions asked.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Food is a human right, and we feel that, you know, the need is out there. Families are hungry. We do have our typical free and reduced families, but there's a lot of families that maybe didn't qualify for it, but now, given the economic situation and what's happening, maybe they are becoming food insecure when they weren't a couple weeks ago. And we don't feel it's our position here to question families. We just want them to come and get the resources they need to be healthy. And so everyone who comes up, we'll get every family that shows up, we'll give you a bag of food, no questions asked. I just want to assure all of your families that we are taking the most precautions we can in packing the food. We've followed some really strict safety protocols at the district. We sanitize everything. We're using hand sanitizer and gloves, and we're trying to hand the food into cars. So we're kind of trying to maintain some social distancing. Yes, and we're happy to serve families that come by car, by bike, by foot. So we're hoping to see more people out Thursday. We really would love to serve the community, and we're so thankful to the natural food industry in Boulder has been stepping up, and they're starting to donate more and more food for us. So we're going to have a lot of great high-quality foods and a big variety of foods to help families get through this crazy time that I don't think any of us expected, and so we want to be out here supporting our community.
If somebody would like to find more about where else they can go and get support, food emergency.
So all of our donations are going through Impact on Education right now. So they're coordinating cash donations for us and some volunteer time. So if you want to check out their website, it's Impact on Education. They serve the Boulder Valley School District. And then as far as food resources beyond what we're doing, on our website, bvsd.org, you can Google food resources, and they'll come up with a huge list of all the different, there's so many different organizations around our community that are doing things too, so they can get a diversity of support. So we'll have that on our website, and we also hope to be pushing that out via email the next week too, to all of our families.
My name is Diane Brenton. I work for the Northwest Network in Boulder Valley School District as a coordinator of equity and partnerships. It is common to generalize and just assume people of color have needs, or Latinx families are those who are the ones most in need, but it is absolutely not that way. We have lots of families who fly under the radar who also have a need, and aside from that, there are families whose breadwinner has recently lost their job under these circumstances. So as I mentioned in Spanish, it is such an honor to be part of a district that is thinking beyond the classroom and into the hearts of families, and understanding that not only are we at home and are limited as far as opportunity is concerned right now, but people now are running out of food, and we're just so lucky to be part of a district and a community who comes together under these difficult circumstances and is here to make sure everybody at least has the absolute necessities so they can survive for the next time, next days, next weeks, next months.
For KGNU, Rosanna Longo.
There will be food pickups happening today from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Boulder Valley School District. They're happening at Creekside, Crestview, Columbine, Emerald, Pioneer, Sanchez and Uni Hill Elementary Schools. They'll also happen at the Lewisville Middle School and Netherland High School. The St. Vrain Valley School District is also doing food pickup this week, and you can find out the locations at svvsd.org. In fact, many other school districts are offering emergency food supplies to students and families. Check the website for your local school district for more information. Some of the previously arranged pickup information is changing due to the inclement weather that we're going to see today. But school districts around the state say they are committed to not just providing learning access while the schools are closed, but also food access. It is 17 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, food access is raising anxiety levels for everyone, it seems. Amid this crisis, you just have to go into a grocery store and see the empty shelves. Now, of course, restaurants are closed around the state. It's not just food consumers being impacted, but of course, businesses and workers in the food industry. And they're very often minimum wage workers living paycheck to paycheck already. Before Governor Polis ordered the restaurants and bars around the state to close, the owners of Rosetta Hall in Boulder had already made that decision. Last weekend, they posted to social media that they would no longer welcome diners into their establishment. They announced as well that they created an emergency fund to help pay workers during the crisis. I spoke with Donovan Green of Rosetta Hall.
Really, this is an unprecedented situation, so there's just no framework in place for really knowing how to think about it. So all of it was an evolving decision. You know, at first, not being very well versed in public health and infectious disease control, you focus primarily first on the employees and on your suppliers, about keeping everybody employed and fulfilling your commitments to the community. And then as this unfolded, it becomes more clear what our role is too. Is first and foremost, like any organization, the most important thing is always safety. Having been involved in one really bad workplace accident several years ago, I've always held that in my mind that no matter what, safety is always the most important thing when running a company. And I'd always thought of that in terms of, you know, at your team level, your company level, the you know, your employees. And then this situation really has kind of opened our eyes to the larger national and international role that everybody plays, especially with bars and restaurants and hospitality, where you're having large-scale gathering places, that it's, you know, that safety just became paramount. And in evaluating that, that took precedence over any financial gains or even, you know, keeping our employees, you know, on the payroll as we had them, that we had to close in the interest of the public good.
Well, as we said, Governor Jared Polis made the decision for many other restaurants who hadn't made their own decision like you had in terms of closing. What does that mean for a restaurant like yours, and particularly the kind of establishment that Rosetta Hall is, where it's a very communal setting? It's essentially, it's a food hall. People can gather together. You've got big communal tables. It's a really communal dining experience. What does it mean for your business, just purely from an economic perspective, to have to make this decision?
Well, I mean, yeah, I very much think of us as almost like a train station for Boulder, where, you know, we're open from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. with coffee and breakfast and lunch and dinner and late night with salsa nights and house nights and hip-hop nights. So we see all these different communities that come in and out of Rosetta Hall, you know, 17 hours a day, essentially. So, you know, first and foremost, it was very sad to see a lot of our regulars show up and not be able to serve people and serve the community, because it's a gathering place where people can talk about their day and connect with other people. But, you know, for us, from a financial perspective, because of the way we've structured the business, all of our relationships with all the chefs were structured like a record label. So we absorb all the financial impact of this, or the overwhelming majority of the financial impact. So our business will open again, whether it's in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever ends up happening, we'll open again. All of our stalls will open again. And life will go on, and we'll bounce back in a great way from this.
Tell us about the fund that you created to make sure that employees would be taken care of, because there's so much uncertainty right now for people in the service industry, with tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people now really being impacted in this area. People who work in restaurants, people who are servers, people who are working in the kitchen, the wide-ranging implications of this. Take us through the fund that you created.
Sure. I mean, for us, it was, again, there was no framework for it. So, really, Rosetta Hall is very unique, is that we all work and conduct our lives in one room. And just looking around the room in general, we wanted to take care of everybody as much as we can. Now, in the hospital, you know, it's like almost 40% of Americans have less than $500 in their bank accounts. They really live paycheck to paycheck, and that's generally very true for people in the service industry. And so, you know, a lot of people, I only have 15, 30, 50 bucks sometimes when it gets to payday. So in a situation like this, where you need to, as we're being told now in different areas, you know, shelter in place, stock up on provisions, be prepared to ride it out, for people that have $50 in the bank or, you know, $100 in the bank, that's really insufficient. And while there is going to be some kind of a relief package, I'm sure that might take, you know, weeks for that to hit people's bank accounts, if not longer than that. So we made the decision that, you know, we dipped into our cash reserves. We go through about $100,000 to $150,000 in working capital a week at Rosetta Hall that pays for everything in the hall itself. And then we'd had some cash stashed aside for a rainy day, and a rainy day showed up. And so basically what we did is we went deep into our cash reserves. And this originally we started it with a $50,000 fund, but really – what we decided to do is to everyone in the hall would get 2 weeks of paychecks, not necessarily at their full rate, but at as much as we could do. Basically, everybody, you know, walked with about $400 in cash per week. There's almost 100 employees in the room. And that's after all payroll taxes and income tax, Social Security, Medicare, et cetera, so that they had at least $800 in their bank account after their normal check that arrives this week. So basically paying them through the end of the month, and that ended up costing us, I mean, it's really right around the $75,000 mark right now. And then additionally, we had a separate fund of anybody was really in crisis or needed medical attention, or wanted to get tested for corona, that we open that up as well, just until it runs out. And, you know, for example, one person used it because they were right in the process of moving and getting a deposit together for a home and or an apartment for their family. And so we were able to, you know, make an emergency, you know, zero interest loan to them that will, you know, work it off sometime later this year or next year or something like that, just so that they have a good place to live, you know, to ride this whole thing out.
What do you think the long-term implications of this are? I mean, I know that's a question people don't know the answer to, but people still need to eat. There's a run on the grocery stores in terms of people stocking up on provisions. So food is a major part of this. What do you think, you know, will come out of this ultimately?
Well, there's a short term and a long term. In the short term, what we're looking at is, you know, all the farms are just starting to come to life here locally, farmers and ranchers. We've been investigating having a grocery service at Rosetta Hall because we buy a huge amount. I mean, the majority of all of our produce and proteins, meats come from local farms like Red Wagon and Buckner and Cure, places like that. So we've been investigating maybe having some kind of a temporary grocery service that we have in the hall. Denver Central Market is doing that. They always have a grocery presence. And we also are going to do a takeout and delivery component as well from two of our stalls, Sierra as well as La Tigella, and others may join that are a really affordable family-style meals. So we want to play our part as we can in the short term of it, and in the long term, I think, it's all going to bounce back. I think people are going to, you know, people are very social creatures and love to go out, especially in Boulder and Colorado. And I think it's going to be really hard for people to lack that human contact. And we expect it to bounce back fully when it reopens. And within that, we might do some great pricing breaks and things that, you know, people who might have been hit financially by all this can still afford to go out and have great interactions. We were actually right on the verge of launching an all-local happy hour featuring organic citrus and all Colorado purveyors of, you know, gin and vodka and bourbon and things like that. And we're going to feature all those at, like, the $5 price point for our local organic cocktails. So we'll be doing a lot of things like that to foster community and make it affordable for people to go out again when all this, you know, clears over.
And that is Donovan Green of Rosetta Hall in Boulder. And we'll continue to cover what's happening with local restaurants, the food industry, and particularly the workers as the community deals with what is currently happening with all of the closures. It is 8:26. You're listening to KGNU. Time now for Radio Nibbles.
Banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. You put the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to mine.
Everybody eats on Thursday mornings when it's time for Radio Nibbles. And this morning we have a special Radio Nibbles. John Lendorf joining us live, but this time joining us from his kitchen. Good morning, John.
Wait a minute. I gotta turn over the eggs here and pull out the toast.
So we're literally joining you for breakfast.
Yes, yes. I hope everybody's having a lovely day here. So how are you doing?
Well,
how's Katie and you?
We're here. We are here, and you are in your kitchen, and we're so grateful that you're phoning in. And for many people who are dealing with this issue of being at home and having to maybe cook in a way or deal with food in a way that might be new for them, you've got some tips this morning as you invite people to delve into the dark depths of their pantries and see what provisions might be there and give them some ideas on what to do.
Yes, my column today in the Boulder Weekly, and you can find it online because, you know, I know you're not going out. I was wandering the store on Friday the 13th, and I noticed what was gone and what wasn't. And surprisingly, a lot of great tomato things were not. And my column is about what to do with tomato paste and tomato puree, crushed tomatoes, tomato juice, and how to make good solid meals out of those. You know, I think this is a wonderful time to learn how to master some artisan skills in the kitchen. I also wanted to mention that today's Nibbles column will be the final one for a while. The Boulder Weekly depends on advertising from small retailers and bars and restaurants, and it's been cut back considerably. So unfortunately, Nibbles is going on hiatus for a while, but we'll still be here with Radio Nibbles.
Well, we are delighted that you are joining us live. And as you talk about, you know, really getting creative with things that might only be available now at the grocery store that you might not typically buy, our choices are being limited. We're also really figuring out what we already have on hand, what we can use. This very much goes into the theme of this year, John, that we had already began, which was food waste. And so there are so many things that we already have in our houses that we can actually really bring in to some recipes right now. So when you have things like tomato paste, or when you have tins of tomatoes, give us a sense of what you do with those.
Well, for instance, if you have, you'll see variations on either sliced, diced, or other kinds of tomatoes, sometimes with garlic and basil, or green chilies even. And so you drain the tomatoes and save that juice and use it for a soup or something else. And then put olive oil on a baking sheet. Put the tomatoes down, throw it in the oven at 400 degrees, and then take it out when they're sort of dried out and caramelized. And it's a wonderful addition to salads and sauces. You can make, speaking of breakfast, tomato toast. You can make a wonderful, tomato spread, and you can put that on toast, and it's pretty great.
Well, we just heard from Dunfin Green of Rosetta Hall last weekend. They actually made the decision to close their restaurant ahead of Governor Polis's mandate, essentially. I know, John, because you're living through this yourself and you're being impacted with, your column being suspended. This is a hard time for restaurant workers, people who prepare food, people who wash the dishes. All of these people, they're incredibly vulnerable right now.
Hard doesn't really describe it. I've been around that business for many years, and a lot of people live week to week, month to month, and they always assume that they can get more work. I assume, I could cook, but now there's no cooking jobs, and a lot of people don't have any benefits, and they're not going to be able to pay their bills, and there's going to be a lot of businesses that are going to close and not reopen. So I want to encourage everyone to support the ones that are still open and serving takeout food. You can do that. You can pick that up safely and enjoy it at home, because you're going to get tired of your own cooking anyway. And one of those places is Shemaine's Bake Shop up off Wilderness and, up there. Anyway, she has pies and cakes. She also does sandwiches and some wonderful pastries. And so I encourage you to support them and the other local restaurants in town that are trying to keep their cooks and waitresses and dishwashers fed.
And food critics as well. And John, we're going to continue to check in with you from your kitchen. So we'll check and see what the menu holds next Thursday. And of course, we wish you and all of the workers in the food industry the very best. I know the best thing you've eaten this week. You've already given a shout out to the business.
Yeah. However, if anyone out there is at home and going, what the heck do I do with farro or barley or rutabagas or any of that kind of stuff, send me an email at radionibbles@kgnu.org and I will get back in touch with you and help you.
And every week, John, I think we're going to commit to giving people ideas on different ways that they can be creative with some of these foods that they might be stocking up on.
Absolutely.
As always, it's always good to have you, John Nibbles, joining us live from his kitchen table this morning, right here at KGNU. Bon appetit, John.
Bon appetit.
hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills ya. Pass me a pancake mandrake, having a derby irby. Look in the Fendel Mendel. Everybody eats when they come to my house.